that. You know, he had asked me if I wanted to do a duet, but I said, no, you go ahead, brother. And I believe you can handle that on your own. Amen? You know, what a glorious day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Not just because the pastor's wearing a tie, but because this is the house of God, and we come here to worship and to honor Him. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just been such a blessed week this past week. Of course, today is Palm Sunday. It marks the day that Jesus made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we all know that as He came in with the triumphal entry, that they sang Hosanna to the highest. And they praised Him because they thought He was coming to set up an earthly kingdom to where they would have a great and or heightened stature, when really and truly, that's not why He came at all. Amen?
Amen.
And only five short days later, they would crucify Him upon the cross of Calvary. And you know, it is so interesting how the fellowship of the saints works. As we go through life, sometimes we can feel a little bit of alone, but when you have a good church family, life is just better. Amen? You know, this past week we spent some time and we went to a movie together, a bunch of us, and we went to Regal Shadowwood on Glaze Road, and we saw I Can Only Imagine. If you haven't had a chance to see that movie, go see it. We had a great time. We took up like two whole rows of seating there. And I want you guys to know that this week, this Tuesday, at Regal Magnolia, we're going to see the Apostle. Talking about all about Paul. And we're going to be there and go on your Fandango or whatever and get your tickets. I already have mine. And Miss Ruthann, I didn't share that with her before I took the pulpit, but we already have our tickets and we're going. And Miss Ruthann gets excited about that because she knows that when we go to the movies, she generally gets to eat out too. And so we had that. And then this past Friday evening, we had the memorial at the Renewing Word Church for Brother Cornelius, who went to be with the Lord recently. And it was a great crowd that turned out. And our director of hospitality did a wonderful job, and we got the flowers there and the food, and had a chance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time of testimony to celebrate Cornelius's life and the promise of our eternal world that we each have. Amen? And so today, we come today for the Word of God, the message called The Crown. And if you have your Bibles, whether in digital or printed format, all over the sanctuary, hold your Bibles up in the air if you would, please. Amen. Hallelujah. That is great. Please turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, we will pick it up in verses 26 through 31. As I said a moment ago, today is marked and called the Palm Sunday. Jesus' triumphal entry is recorded in Matthew chapter 21. And it set off the things of that week. But we know that chapter 26, verse 36, that talks about the prayer in the garden. Verse 47 of 26 talks about Christ's betrayal by Judas. 26, verse 57 begins Jesus' trials as He goes back and forth between the high priest and the Sanhedrin. Verse 69, Peter denies Jesus. But for the grace of God go I. Chapter 27, the chapter we'll be in today. Verse 1, when Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate was a governor, and he was a government official. And he just didn't want any problems, was what his issue was. And so he tried everything he could that would not endanger himself to not have to crucify Jesus Christ. And they have a long discourse between them. There was even a point where he offered up Barabbas to the crowd instead of Jesus Christ. Barabbas to a terrible murderer a terrible, vile man, but the people wanted, had decided they wanted to crucify Jesus Christ. And so we come to today's passage. And I want you to know that before he was crucified, that the Lord Jesus was crowned with thorns. It was not incidental. It was not accidental. Because the message of the crown of thorns is an incredibly glorious and wonderful story in the Word of God. You would not think that it would be. But now if we could bring the passages up on the screen and you follow along in your Bibles. You know, here at Living Hope Church, we wanted to make sure that you have your Bibles in your hand when the pastor is preaching. Reading from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him. By the way, that word reed really means staff or club. And took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Amen. Crucified for our sins. I have 5 points for you today. And I want you to know that the alliteration is an alliteration modified from a sermon done by a great man of God, John R. Rice. He was a pastor at the first part of the 19th century. The alliteration I kind of stole from him, but the message is from the Word of God. Amen. And the message is the message of the crown for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have 5 points for you today. Jot these down in your notes. And your first point today is this. I want you to notice the sacred mystery of the crown. The sacred mystery. You see, everything in Holy Scripture has a purpose. Everything. In other words, if it's in the Bible, it's there for a reason. It's not put there accidentally, it's not incidentally, but everything in the Word of God has a reason and has a purpose. So what does a crown of thorns really mean? You know, the Bible says that God created Adam and He put him in the Garden of Eden. You know, we know, we said so many times that when God created everything and then He rested, He said, "It is very good." And in that garden where God placed Adam, there were no thorns, there were no thistles, there were no brambles. Because God created the world glorious. So the first rose that ever bloomed was a rose that bloomed without thorns. When Adam picked blackberries, how many people love picking blackberries? Amen, hallelujah. How many grew up picking blackberries? I get blackberry pie by Miss Ruth Ann every once in a while. We don't pick them anymore. No telling what's watering those things. But when Adam picked blackberries, he didn't have to worry about getting stickers in his fingers or the thorns tearing his clothes, because there were no thorns in the Garden of Eden. Then came the fall. And if you look on the screen, you'll see Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And he said, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife,'" let me pause and stop right there for a moment. Eve gets a rough go here sometimes. And I just want to once again tell Living Hope, tell our visitors, and for those of you that have never heard this, that the Bible says in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis that God took Adam and placed him in the garden to tend the garden. Now that word tend means to protect and to guard. To protect and to guard the garden. And so let me ask you this. If Adam was placed there to protect the garden and everything in it, how did Satan get in? How did the serpent get in the garden? Well, Adam fell down on the job. Amen? All the lady said? Amen. And then the serpent, when the serpent began talking to Eve, and he beguiled Eve, and Eve ate, it says what? That she took of the forbidden fruit and gave it to her husband who was standing there. That would have been a good time for Adam to say, sweetheart, don't talk to the snake. So let's not be too hard on Eve. Amen? And so then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat. In toil you shall not eat of it. I'm sorry. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Thorns and thistles. Biblically, thorns and thistles began to grow at that point, at the time of the fall. And biblically, the thorn is a sign of the curse on all of humanity because of our sin. The sin inherited down through Adam. People say, well, I didn't do that. Well, why do I have to be corrupted? Because the Lord says that at the fall, that man's heart became corrupted as the heart of a viper. So let me ask you guys something. This is a simple biology question. If you have a mama viper and you have a daddy viper and they get together, you don't get bunny rabbits. You get a viper. Now, I know that we have that brand new baby here in our sanctuary. All right? And he looks so sweet. And Pastor Devine, he's got a full head of hair. He's got a full head of hair. This beautiful baby. But until he reaches, you know, one day he will reach the age of a knowledge, the age of awareness, the age of accountability. He's still got that same heart. Amen? We all come with that. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 8 says that thorns are a sign of the rejection. And it's a sign of God's curse upon man because of the fall. And in our passage today, Jesus was wearing what? Thorns. A crown of thorns. The crown of thorns that Jesus wore on his head represented all of the hardship, all of the sorrow, all of the death that comes because of sin. And so may I ask today, if you're going through a difficult time, where is heartache in your life? Have you had heartache? Are you going through heartache right now? Have you known sorrow? Have you known sickness in your life? Those things exist only because of the curse at the fall in the Garden of Eden. You know, we live in a world of sin. Amen? We live in a world of thorns. And because of sin, I wanted to share this with you because I'm Mr. Happy Fun Guy. If you have not already, you will know sickness. You will know suffering. You will know pain. Both creation was and is cursed by sin. So may I ask, would you like to know why we have confusion, frustration, suffering? We look around and we see the results of sin in our world. We can look at every single hospital and say, sin did this. We can look at every mental institution and say, sin did this because of the fall. Look at every crippled body and every jail cell and say, sin did this. Look at every twisted and warped child's body and say, that's not fair that a child should be born like that. But because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, sin did this. Look at all the heartache in the world, the pain, the toil, the anguish. And you can write all over it one word, sin. Sin. Now, I know that that's not a popular topic. But we have to understand the reason for Christ going to the cross. And that thorn is the symbol of sin of man. And when Jesus died on that cross, he was crowned with thorns. He wore the crown. He bore the cruise. He bore the curse. Apologies for my pronunciation. And that's why that thorn of crowns is a sacred mystery to us. Amen? Second, what else is a crown? Well, let us look now at the solemn misery of that crown. The solemn misery of that crown. You see, the misery of suffering, the misery of pain. And just let me make something clear. The crown was placed on Christ's head at his temple, which is one of the most sensitive parts of the body. paintings of the Lord Jesus Christ that you may see are completely inaccurate because they've been civilized. They put a little bit of blood on him. They may show some stripes, but they are civilized paintings. He had no loincloth on. He was stripped nude and crucified upon the cross. Because, friends, you would never want to see a picture of what he really looked like hanging on that cross. According to Scripture, he had been beaten with the 39 lashes. In other words, his body tore open to the bone. His face was so brutalized you could not tell whether it was a man's face or an animal's. The people that took him had yanked and pulled the beard physically from his face with their hands. Can you imagine that? Uncontrolled. Nobody holding them back. They beat his face with his fists. They loosening his teeth. Blood streaming from his nose was mingled with the filthy spit from their mouths as they spat in his face. And then they took the club, the reed, according to verse 30, and they beat the thorns from that crown into the side of his head. Isaiah 52:14 says, his face, talking of the Messiah, was marred more than any man's ever has been or any man's ever would be. In other words, he didn't even look like a man. He didn't look human hanging on the cross. You know, I love that. I love that song, Mercy Tree, that our praise team such a wonderful job singing right before the special music about the cross from Brother Cliff. Christ went to that cross for me, for you, for every human being that has ever lived, because he had mercy upon us. God had mercy upon each and every one of us. Isaiah 53 verse 4 answers this question. Surely he has borne our grief and he has carried our sorrows. In other words, Christ wore the crown. Christ took the curse that was meant for us. And it was a miserable event. So we saw the sacred mystery of the crown. We then saw the solemn misery of the crown. Now we come to the shameful mockery of the crown. Look at verses 28 and 29 if you're there. Say amen. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Friends, they did not put a purple robe on him, because purple is a sign of royalty. They put a scarlet robe on him, which is a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of the sin. It's a symbol of the blood shed. It's interesting that they put the scarlet robe on him so that it would not be marred by the blood that he was shedding. He wore a red robe. They did not put a scepter in his hand, but they put a reed, a staff, basically just a twisted up club. In other words, a stick in his hand. They did not put a diadem on the Son of God's head filled with jewels and pearls and precious stones, but he put a crown of thorns on his head. And the honor that they paid him was to spit in his face. Can you imagine that here stands the Lord of glory? Here stands the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He came for the sole purpose of dying for our sins. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they spit in his face. People ask for definitions of sin at times. Well, friends, sin is refusing to bow to the rightful King of glory. Sin is a clenched fist in the face of God. Sin is telling God that my plan is better than your plan. You know, Jesus came into the Roman world of government, he was rejected. Jesus came into the Greek world of culture, he was rejected. And Jesus Christ came into the Hebrew world of religion, and what? He was rejected. Each and every one of the cultures, each and every one of the different systems of humanity rejected him. But let's not get too excited about what they did. Because the world today does not want to acknowledge Jesus Christ. In the world of government, we've all but outlawed the name of Jesus Christ in the public forum. The same can be said of our halls of education. Can you imagine standing up in one of our universities today in a psychology class and saying, "You're missing the point. Whatever your problem is, the answer is Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. That is the answer to the problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Listen, friends, they have room for humanism. They have room for blasphemy. There's room for fornication, for adultery, but no room for Jesus Christ. But America simply will not bow to Christ. Looking around, many churches today are just glorified country clubs with steeples on top. And the Lord Jesus Christ, crowned with thorns, is left standing outside the door. Let's not muddy up the service with the suffering of Christ on the service. I know. I speak about that all the time. But may I ask, how many churches today still preach the perfect, inerrant Word of God? How many churches still preach, "Thus saith the Lord"? You see, we come to church and we all love the great messages, amen? We love the resurrection. We love the part about going to heaven. But there's other parts in there. And what I'm preaching today is a difficult message. It's a difficult passage, but there's glory in these words. Amen. There's glory in these words. There's cause for happiness because I don't have to go through that. Jesus did it. Jesus went through all of that. You know, friends, when it comes to churches today, how many churches preach about the shed blood of Christ? How many churches preach about the blessed hope of the second coming of our Savior? Some people say, "Well, Pastor, you can seem a little harsh about this sometime." I've heard folks say, "Well, you know, they mean well. After all, at least those churches are religious." Religious? Can I remind you that it was a religious crowd that crucified Jesus Christ? It was the church people. Listen, guys, it's not about religion. It is not. It's not about showing up for church. It's about having that relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Give God praise in His house. People don't need religion. They need Jesus. Not only the sacred mystery of the crown, not only the solemn mystery of the crown, not only the shameful mockery of the crown. Let's look now at our fourth point, the saving ministry of that crown of thrones. The saving ministry of that crown of thrones. It's no accident that Jesus wore a crown of thrones. Look now, if you would, we should have it on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What's it say here? The Apostle Paul writing, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." The righteousness of God in Him. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, all of the righteousness that is in Christ is in you. When you stand before the Father, if you've received His Son, the Lord looks at you like He looks at His Son. Righteous, in right standing. What this means is that my crown of thorns, my sin, my curse was put upon the head of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Christ bore my punishment. You see, that when we sing that song, "The Mercy Tree," when we sing about the cross as Brother Cliff did today, I don't think of it as a world issue. I make it personal. It is my sin that caused Christ to be upon that cross. Mine. I'm not here fussing at you guys. I'm here fussing at me. It's me that did that. Listen to me. Romans chapter 3, 23 says what? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All right, that's all of us. But here's what the follow-up to that is. God never has. God never can. And God never, ever, ever will let sin go unpunished. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags before the Lord, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because our great God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. And so there's only one question for you today. If sin must be punished, as we've just read, if sin must be punished, who will bear that punishment for your life? Because it's only one of two answers. It's either Jesus Christ or you. That's the only answers that we have there. And so if you're watching on the internet today, don't change the screen here. You need to hear what we're talking about. Friends, our sin will be pardoned in Christ or punished with eternal separation from God. But sin can never be overlooked. Now, I want to give you a little history here. I know you guys love the history lessons I give in my messages. Miss Ruth Ann's eyes just rolled back right in the back of her head. But did you know the place of the crucifixion, Calvary, Golgotha, Mount Moriah, was also the Temple Mount that is all part of the same limestone ridge? Did you know that? It's the same mountain. And 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son that you love, and I want you to take him to a place that I will show you, and there you are to offer him as a sacrifice. Can you imagine that? Take your only son. So Isaac is obedient. Pardon me, Abraham was obedient. And they're heading that way. And along the way, what's Isaac say? Father, here's the wood. We've got the rope. We've got the knife. Where's the lamb? And Abraham, surely choking back the tears in his heart, says, son, God will provide for himself the lamb. So can you imagine they go up the mountain? Abraham lays Isaac on the altar. This had to be a moment for Isaac. But there is absolutely no discourse about Isaac struggling over this at all. He lays Isaac on the altar. He raises the knife and the angel of the Lord calls out and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the boy. I have provided for you a substitute. And so Abram looks over and there was a ram caught in the thicket. The thicket. Now the Hebrew actually means a thicket of thorns. And what was caught in the thorns, friends? The ram's head. The ram's head was caught in those thorns. And so that ram caught in the thicket, that ram crowned with thorns, became the sacrifice in place of the one who should have been sacrificed, Isaac. And who would have been sacrificed right there on Mount Moriah, right there on Calvary, right there on Golgotha. And that's the saving ministry of the crown, my friends. Listen to me. This is so very important. If you follow the life of Abraham, you'll find that before the story of him taking Isaac up to the altar, before that story, Abraham built many, many, many altars to the Lord. But did you know that he never built another altar after Isaac? Not a one. He never built another altar after Isaac. His one and only son was offered as a sacrifice. Why? Because God had provided. God had provided. It was the perfect altar because it pictured the perfect sacrifice. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know the passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I don't know about you, I'm one of the whosoevers, believeth on him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. All hail Jesus' name over that one. Hallelujah and glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something else, my friends. After Jesus died on that cross, and ever since Christ died on that cross and rose again, there's been no need for any other altars. Amen. There's been no need for any other sacrifice. And to build another altar, to build another way to sacrifice, to search for another way to heaven is blasphemy. Amen. There is one way into heaven. It's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Perfect sacrifice. He already paid. He has already paid the price as a perfect sacrifice on Calvary. He's already paid the price as a perfect sacrifice upon Mount Moriah. Amen? It is finished. It is done. The price has been paid in full. And as the old hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when you receive Christ as Lord, your sins are washed away. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you are washed as white as the snow. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give God praise in His house. And now we come to the final point today. Not only the sacred mystery, not only the solemn misery, not only the shameful mockery, not only the saving ministry, but now let us look at the sovereign majesty of the crown. Don't you ever think that Jesus Christ died as a helpless victim? That maybe things just got out of control a little bit. Let me ask you something. Do you think for a second that maybe Satan was on God's throne? That Satan was in charge and doing all of this? No. When Jesus wore that crown of thorns, Jesus Christ was still the sovereign, majestic, almighty God. Amen. Jesus said what? If I but speak, a legion of angels would come. 10,000 times 10,000. I present this to you. I don't think if He simply had to say the words that they would come. I believe that the Father in heaven was telling the angels, no. I believe those angels were mounted on their mighty steeds. They had the swords in their hands and they were ready to come forward with the fierce wrath of Almighty God to free their king from the cross. And only God's word kept them there. Because the angels serve the king. The angels serve the king, friends. Listen to me for a second. What God ordained was perfectly done through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. God was, God is, and God always will be in full control. There is nothing that you go through in this life that has not passed before the permissive will in the eyes of God. Are you going through a tough time, Christians? God has allowed that in His permissive will. Look for the lesson. Look for the reason. Lord, how can I glorify You in this moment? See, Christians, for some reason, people think they get saved and pain and suffering is all over with. I don't think so. Amen? Amen. Miss Shirley, how are your knees this morning? Pastor Larry, how's your back? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if Christians are not to suffer, then who? Who is prepared for that? On earth, crowns always symbolize authority. Charlemagne wore a crown because he was a king. Richard the Lionhearted wore the crown because he was a king. The Queen of England has a crown because she's the sovereign. But for me, there is no crown that is a match for the crown of thorns. None. Oh, the majesty of that crown. The majesty of the crown of thorns. Have you ever really thought about the fact that when a little bird wants to hide, when it wants to protect itself from its enemies and protect its eggs, that many times it will build its nest in a thicket of thorns for protection? You see, friends, my security, my safety, my salvation, my protection, my all in all is found in those thorns. Amen. It's found in a name, the name above all names. It's the name of the one who wore my crown. The name that bore my sin. And that name is the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so you have a choice today, friends. The most important choice that you will ever make in your life. You can bow your knee and honor Jesus Christ. Or you can say, take that crown off of His head and put it on mine. Meaning what? You can say, I will bear my own curse. I will pay for my own sin. And I will suffer an eternity separated from God. Why? Because I refuse to bow my knee to the one that loved me so much that he died for me on the cross of Calvary, wearing that majestic, mighty, mysterious, saving crown of thorns. You see, he died for you. It's your choice. Or you can receive God's Son as the Lord of your life. How does that happen? Well, you must receive the gospel. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first four verses. And just listen to me for a moment to this. I'm going to paraphrase for just a moment, but it says that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world in earthly form. That Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Therefore, he was able to go as a sacrifice, once and for all, to the cross of Calvary, to bear our sins. That he died on Calvary. That he was placed in the grave, and he was there 3 days, but on the third day he rose again. Therefore, because Christ has conquered death in the grave, you can receive him as Lord if you only confess that you're a sinner. Confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Scripture makes no bones about it. It's just this simple. You will be saved. You will be saved. And so Jesus offers to you today amazing grace. He offers you today wonderful love. And he offers to you today salvation. Because as we've been reading in the book of Acts, there is salvation found in none other name than the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, hallelujah. Give the Lord a round of applause in his house. Now, we've come to the most important part of our service. It's been building up all week for this. And some folks think that we work and we practice and we do things all week as our praise team comes. And that we get ready, we work. And we come here so that we can sing praises to God. Well, that's part of it. Or that we can hear the Word of God. Well, that's part of it. That's not the highlight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God, you are worthy.